Welcome to Skills Journey, hosted by Emil Rovenheimer and Yanni Brofenboer from PopUp, the People Upliftment Program. This is your passport to a transformative journey where we uncover the power of skills together.
Welcome to Skills Journey with me, Emil Rovenheimer, and Yanni Brofenboer from PopUp. We are in Season 2 called Masterclass, and we have been privileged to have discussions with masters about their own skills journeys and where they started and how they ultimately became masters in their own areas of influence. And so I'm privileged to continue the discussion with Anton Smit. We have had him in studio for the last two sessions and episodes as well. And if you want to catch up on that discussion, please do. But for those of you who don't know who Anton Smit is, he is a world-renowned sculptor. He's done incredible work over multiple decades. And a lot of it is actually installed at a mall called Menland Main. He's got numerous sculptures that are there. And he's got a wonderful site at Bronkhorstspruit where he's got an incredible garden just filled with sculptures and beautiful expressions of his creative passion. And so, Anton, it's a privilege to have you in studio.
Thanks, Emil.
And we wanted to explore it. I mean, in our previous discussion, we talked about how you made that leap from kind of really liking art and doing it at night after your day job to becoming a professional artist.
Yeah.
But I want to unpack in today's episode a bigger discussion around mastery. You are now on the global stage, and you've kind of crafted yourself and you've refined your craft over decades to get to this point. But give us some insight into what does that mean to be a master and to function at the global stage? What does that ask of you?
To me, I think one has to be one's own worst critic. I'm very critical about the work that I do, and I always see room for improvement. So once you start applying that over and over and over, you come to a point where you can't improve anymore, or it's just not within your ability to improve anymore. But it's also to have a vision and to have insight and to know what's going on in the world.
Wow.
To be knowledgeable. So in 91, a very good friend of mine actually from Hatfield Church came to me and said, I think you should go and exhibit in Rome. And so he organized with the trade consul in Rome that I could exhibit at the embassy.
Was this your breakthrough moment, Anton? Was this the first time you went offshore?
That's the first time I went offshore, and it was a big breakthrough.
Wow!
Because now I'm exhibiting there, and I've got say 30 pieces of all of my imagination.
Wow.
I had done well with them in South Africa, but what would they do on a global stage? And I was very, very well received there.
Wow.
Because the ambassador, who was David Dubuisson, at the time was a great art collector at the time, and he invited really top people to the exhibition. And it was a very great event and lasted 2 weeks, etc. And I sold most of the work there.
Oh, wow.
That's a good barometer, is whether you sell or not.
Mm.
And then after that, I exhibited in Milan and then in Bonn later, in Germany. Then I picked up a gallery picked me up in Cologne.
Okay.
Galerie Reich, and I exhibited there. And you listen to what people say. There are always the ones that have bad things to say.
Yeah.
But you don't listen to them. You listen to the good reports that you get. So then you come back, you go into the studio, and you rethink the whole thing, and you go over and over and over. Recently, about 2 years ago, I decided to change my style completely and do a series called New Futurism, which depicts movement.
Wow.
And I did a whole series of metal works depicting movement, and had an exhibition in Belgium just with that. Top gallery, and I sold the whole lot, one shot.
Wow.
And that was just, that's the reward that you get for carrying on and on and on and on. So I, in fact, the steel work that I make, the latest work that I'm making, I use an apprentice to do it.
Wow.
I stand behind him and I say, do this, do that, do that. And the hand teaches the eye. And in my case, wow, the eye teaches the hand.
Yes.
Because I see what needs to be done and I tell him what to do.
Yeah.
And then because he's doing it, he's also absorbing,
yes,
that skill into, wow, his person.
Sure.
Into his mind, into his hands. And you have to encourage people all the time.
I want to get back to the apprenticeship discussion in a little bit. But before we do that, Anton, how do you manage to protect and cultivate this inspiration over so many decades? I mean, you've been doing this for so long, and yet you're constantly reinventing. You're constantly bringing something new to the table. How do you manage to do that?
You just have to be determined to do that. Determination is a big thing in any success story. You compare and you look at what's going on in the world. I do quite a bit of traveling. We go overseas every year. I spent 2 weeks in Barcelona in the middle of last year. So always during winter, we go overseas to Europe because it's summer there. And then you go from gallery to gallery to gallery. And you look at every single thing that you can get hold of. Even on your phone, you can now look at, you can Google anything.
Sure.
And but being there, experiencing the stuff firsthand is next level. So I always try and do things next levels. Last year, I did a project in Cape Town, in Century City. There's a subway underneath the road that is in Century City, linking the old section to a new section.
Okay.
And the subway is 35 meters long, and they wrote out a competition for a sculpture in this 35-meter-long tunnel. I took one look at this competition. I said, this isn't going to work. You can't do one sculpture in this vast tunnel. So I proposed a wall of faces, 500 faces.
Wow.
On the wall, masks. And the masks flow from big to small, from top to bottom, from front to back. So it's a whole musical line.
Wow.
And we got the Cape Town Music Academy sent their composers to me at my studio in Cape Town in Gordon's Bay. And we discussed what kind of music this work inspires. So they wrote a beautiful piece of music with a nice African flavor to it and also a European flavor. And today you can walk through that tunnel. As you go into the tunnel, the music starts playing.
Wow.
The lights are on all the time, and you see this progression of masks from the side to the front, right through.
So incredible.
That was a lot of people write about it as a masterpiece, and I consider it as a masterpiece. Because I know I've been to Los Angeles, I've been to Berlin, I've been to many cities now recently, Barcelona, which is like an art capital of,
yes,
the world. I went to all the museums and things there, spent 2 weeks walking to all these places, all the galleries and exhibitions and museums.
Sure.
So you know what's going on in the,
yeah,
world.
Is this what you would call your most defining masterpiece, the one in Cape Town?
I would say so, yes.
Okay.
Of the previous era. It's like a culmination of the previous era.
Yes.
So now I'm starting a new era.
Wonderful.
But I have a number of people that work for me. I've got 48 people that work for me. And each one of them has a particular role,
wow,
to play. And I inspire them, and they work on my projects. They make my sculptures. I inspire them how to do it, what to do. I always make the first piece myself. Nowadays, I make molds, silicon rubber molds. Well, not nowadays, for a long, long time. And in a silicon rubber mold, you can cast 1,000 times without destroying the mold.
Wow.
It's super strong. So I cast 24 in GRP, glass reinforced polymer, and 12 in bronze.
Incredible.
Of almost every piece that I do, except the metal works are all hand welded.
Yes, I can imagine. Yeah. So let's dive into this idea of apprenticeship, because I want us to kind of springboard into a discussion around the expectation the world has of masters. Because yes, there is an expectation for creating masterpieces, as you've mentioned, but there are also some other expectations that come with being a master. And one of those is that masters have apprentices. So yeah. Talk to us about the expectations, but also how that currently translates into how you think about apprentices and what have been some of the consequences and some of the results of how you think about apprentices.
Well, if an apprentice doesn't shape up, he goes.
No, it makes sense.
So I can't tell you any negative stories, because all my apprentice stories are great successes.
Mm.
So there's my first big apprentice, or what I call a big apprentice, was a chappy from Pro Arte, who was the head boy of Pro Arte. His name is Jan Otto Dutoy. And he came and he did a year apprentice, and then he liked it so much he did another year.
Oh, wow.
So now he is a partner in Southern Guild, and he owns a foundry called The Bronze Age.
Wow.
In Cape Town, and they're one of the biggest foundries in the country.
Sure.
And he does beautiful sculptures still, but he doesn't only do sculpture, he does foundry work as well.
As well, okay.
Yeah, so, and he's still a wonderful chap, and we still talk to each other. And then after that, I had this guy called Jacques van der Merwe, and he started a company called Dado Creations, and they're the first people to make these huge stone baths. It actually carve a bath out of a block of sandstone.
Wow.
With his hands. But then later they started making molds, and he gave the company over to his parents and started a branch in Australia. And then they set up the business to earn money, which it does, and he went back to university.
Okay.
Because I inspire all my apprentices to never stop studying, never stop learning, never stop reading.
As yourself.
Yeah, as myself. You can only do that through example.
Yeah.
And my apprentices, like Jacques, has now got his master's degree in sculpture in the University of Brisbane.
Sure.
In Australia. And I visited him a couple of years ago, and they visited last year, his wife and kids. And he's just a super intelligent young man. And he still is. You know, in my mind, he's still my apprentice. But he's, but he's got a master's degree in art, doctorate in art.
Oh, wow.
Yes. So there, again, a success story. And also the chappies that work with me now, I give them everything that they could possibly need.
Mm.
In fact, I spoil them for choice of materials. Like, for instance, the chap that works on my steel work at the moment, which is my latest work, has his own studio. He's got a huge CNC machine that he doesn't even use, because he cuts steel by hand.
Wow.
So he's got all the different kinds of welding machines that you can think of, MIG and TIG and this and that and wow. whatever. And they know better than me what to do with those machines.
I can imagine.
Because I've got an engineer that works for me as well. And then I've got a permanent welder as well. So they all teach each other.
Mm.
We cross-pollinate all the time.
It's actually like an innovation business.
Yes.
Anton, I think a lot of people have this idea of art, maybe not so much with sculpturing, but art and creative enterprises in general, that it's all just about kind of sitting on a rock and trying to get some inspiration, and then when inspiration strikes, you know, just do something about it. But really, it's an organization.
Yes, and it's a day-to-day job.
It's a job.
I get up in the morning. I'm at work at 8 o'clock.
Yes.
And if tonight at 6 o'clock I get an idea, some of the time I'll page through books and things. I've got a vast library, as you can imagine, of books. And also we have a house in Cape Town with lots of books, and we have a nice farm in Cape Town with wonderful, skilled people that work there.
Wow.
So when I leave one day, the Lord knows when that's going to be. I'm asking him, please, please don't make it soon. I've still got too much to do.
How incredible.
Yeah. So, but I can only ask, you know, I can't demand anything. Mm. And so not a day of your life has been promised to you, it says. So I'm thinking up new things all the time. I'm thinking, I'm going to do this project like this and this. This time I'm going to be more clever. I'm going to work it out systematically so that anybody can come in and see how it's done.
Sure.
So there are a lot of projects that I do. I have scrapbooks. So I've got piles and piles of scrapbooks with ideas in. So I put them away. I file them.
Like Leonardo.
Like, I don't know if Leonardo did that, but I do it. So I can take out a scrapbook, and then it's a whole idea, a project, and it can tell you how that project should be done.
Wow.
For instance, my most iconic sculpture is called Faith. It's a man with his arms outstretched and he's leaning up towards heaven. And I called him Faith. And so I made him 2 meters, then I made him 3 meters, then I made him 7 meters.
Wow.
So I've got a 7-meter one with molds and everything. I can duplicate it anytime. We've got 3 in bronze, sold them all over the world, one in England,
sure,
one in Norway, and actually one in Hermanus. And where's the other one? In Belgium.
Oh, wow.
So I want to make that sculpture 14 meters tall.
Sure.
So you can do it with new technology. What's it called? Laser stuff and stuff like that. They scan it with a laser, and then they put it in the computer and blow it up. I am a caveman, by the way. I only work with clay. I've never in my life touched a computer. But I've got 5-6 people that work for me that know a lot about computers.
Your art is visceral.
Yes. So yeah. I just do the thing. So I go to Sculpture Casting Services, magnificent company. They cast the 9-meter Nelson Mandela at the Union Buildings.
Oh, wow.
And a very good friend of mine actually made it, Andre Prinsloo. So I go to them and I say, okay, I want you to scan this thing and size it up, etc. How much is it going to cost me? So they say, oh, no, we can do that. It's only going to cost you 6 million rand. I say, what? 6 million rand?
Unbelievable.
So then I thought, it's going to take a long time for me to get a client that's going to pay that. Because now you only have the scanning. Mm. Now you have to make a mold. So at the end of the day, 12 million rand to make it.
Just to get it done.
To get it done. So now I'm going back into my caveman stage, and I'm thinking of Gulliver's Travels, where that giant was like pinned down to the ground, and all the Lilliputians were like tying him down, etc. So I get a vision. I'm going to make this man lie down, and then I'm going to build a block cage around him and chop him up into pieces exactly 100 apart, and then take piece for piece and blow it up the old-fashioned way with calipers and tools and things, and make it section by section 14 meters big. In other words, his foot is 2 meters long.
Sure.
You see, so plus. Mm. So, and I'm thinking, while I'm doing this, I'm going to do it on my farm in Cape Town. I'm going to make a nice big clearing. I'm going to have signboards out. I'm going to make a big event out of this.
Incredible.
How to enlarge a 7-meter sculpture to a 14-meter sculpture the old-fashioned way.
Wow.
Which is very visible, because the computerized way, it just goes shoop, shoop into the computer, boop, boop, out it comes.
Yeah.
Nobody knows how it's done.
Yeah.
Because it happens inside the computer. So whereas what I'm wanting to do, and I'm going to do it, God willing, everybody will be invited to come and have a look.
Incredible.
Yes, step. There's phase A, B, C, D, E. step one, step two, step three. And each thing is laid out graphically in the garden.
Wow.
Of how, then you can come and help me to make that sculpture if you want to.
Oh, so what easy. A privilege.
You see, so then we do events. Come and see how it's done. And also then at the same time, there's an exhibition of older works over there. You see?
What I love about that, Anton, is just you taking a constraint in a dream. You have this dream. You've got this vision.
Yeah.
And you've explored a pathway, and that pathway is a no-go. It can't work.
Yeah.
And that's not the end of the story. That's, in fact, the start of a story. And it's this problem solving in the creation process that I think is so inspiring that we sometimes underestimate, because it's almost like we feel when we have resistance in creating something or in birthing something,
very much,
it shouldn't happen.
Yeah.
But this commitment and this discipline that you've been talking about actually manifests now to say, but this is essential. It is this constraint that births this innovation.
Mm-mm.
And I think it's just so inspirational. Yeah. Is there something else, Anton, that you're working on that you can inspire us with, that you're dreaming up, that we can look forward to?
I'm dreaming up really making the sculpture park where we are at Bronkhorstspruit a world-class event place where a lot of, like this sculpture, I also can do on top of the mountain that I recently bought. I owned a 4-hectare piece of land, and the piece of land directly adjacent was owned by someone else, and I paid a lot of money to get that piece of land back. So I want to expand all these projects and things. So I'm going to make this man in Cape Town, but I'll do also the same thing in Pretoria.
Oh, wow.
In Bronkhorstspruit.
Yes.
And people can come from everywhere. I want to build a small boutique hotel, like a lodge on top of the mountain with a sky lounge, because on top of the little mountain that I've got there, if you build something there, you can see 360 degrees around, with a huge portion of it being the lake.
Yes.
It's awesome. It's
That's
really,
wonderful.
It's really awesome. And since we've achieved so much success, it's like a paradise. People come there and they spend hours and hours there, even in the evenings.
Mm. I can attest to that. And to our earlier discussion, I think it was in episode one where you mentioned you have no trouble feeding people, and that's absolutely true.
Yeah.
Anton, maybe a last closing remark. What advice or inspiration would you want to give to aspiring masters, irrespective of their field? What is the one thing that you would want to tell them in pursuit of their own skills journey?
It would be impossible to do anything if you don't believe in the Lord. That's the very first thing that I would say to somebody. Because, say, for instance, the Lord let his light shine on anybody, everybody, all of us. He loves the world. He wants the world to be saved. But if you, in my opinion, this is what you asked me, my opinion, if you had to, like, go into a very unknown thing and an unknown venture, and you don't have God with you, then you're wasting your time, and you're going to shudder in fear, and you're going to fail.
Sure.
So the Lord has given a lot of people a lot of self-confidence that don't really believe in the Lord, which is a pity, but that's the way the Lord is. He's
gracious.
He's very, very, very gracious. And it's up to you to decide whether you're going to follow him or not. But having the Lord with you, I would say, then you venture into a new idea, a new thing, and you can fail numerous times. But it's not how you fall, it's how you stand up.
It's just practice.
You just got to get up and do it again. Get up and do it again.
Oh, wonderful. Anton, it's been such a privilege having you, and we are so grateful for your willingness to share your journey to mastery with us. We look forward to where you're going and all of these new exciting projects, and we really wish you all the best, and we look forward to seeing those things come to fruition.
Thank you very much.